Hello and welcome to CHMA Talks. Today we bring you a conversation with the moderators of the online group Sackville Locals and Community Info.
Well, it could be said like community is like what you roll your eyes at 90% of the time. But to use a potty word, when shit hits the fan, we're all going to be here for each other, like when it comes to the things down the road in Sackville. So,
Jessica Grew, Julia Feltham, and Matt Betty are three of the moderators for a Facebook group dedicated to sharing local information about Sackville and discussing local issues. The group gathered at CHMA Studios on Wednesday to discuss the trials and tribulations of moderating online and also the public discourse culture in Sackville. Welcome to CHMA Talks. Today we have a first-time roundtable with the moderators of Sackville Locals and Community Info, a Facebook group with 1,600 members, is it? In Sackville, which, you know, features everything from like lost pets to highly controversial subjects and debates in town about town issues. So we have one former moderator and two current moderators with us, Jessica Grew. Welcome, Jessica.
Hi.
And we have Julia Feltham, who started the group, I believe.
That's true.
Okay. All right. And we have Matt Betty. Welcome.
Hello.
So thanks for joining us today, guys. Julia, maybe you can start since you did found this group. Why was it formed? And yeah, give us a bit of the background and the history lesson here.
Yeah, absolutely. And first, I kind of want to thank you for bringing us together in real life for the first time ever.
The first time real life gathering of the Sackville Locals moderators.
Yeah, especially for people who have had in-depth discussions about the moralities and like what it's like to moderate public discussion. It's awesome. And yeah, our group started basically after the last provincial election, I believe. Basically because some of the other local groups were being moderated in ways that were really not transparent. And then there were questions about why things were getting pulled and certain subject matter seemed to disappear. And more it was troubling people and they kept messaging me to be like, someone needs to start a new group with like more sort of principles and values and transparency. And that is definitely run by locals. And it kept happening and kept happening. But then at one point, a post was made on another site about basically the People's Alliance candidate locally who was pulled from the party. And a post was made that was basically like, hey, just so you know, before you vote tomorrow, this person's still listed as a People's Party candidate, but they're no longer because they've been kicked out for racism and a few other things. And that post got pulled and the person got blocked and a few other things kept happening, which was like, this is just like actually hurting public discussion at this point. So that was sort of the impetus to make it happen. And then I was like, who else would be willing to do the hard, nuanced work of like trying to moderate things in a like an unbiased way? And yeah, and hence it was born.
And hence it was born. Yeah, and it grew to, it's now 1,600 members, which is, yeah, as you know, it's right up there with the size of some of the previous groups.
Yeah, like I remember there was a specific day, well, it was a provincial election where students were being turned away from the polls and people were attempting to communicate this onto one of the local Facebook groups and it was being like deleted. So we couldn't reach any students. Like I remember like the student union was posting, everyone was posting and trying to get this information through. This was like a rapidly evolving situation on election day. So they were trying to let students know, like, no, go back and you can vote. But they were being deleted. So I got kind of incensed over that happening at the time.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a very up to the minute situation where, yeah, people thought they couldn't vote. And if they hadn't seen a post saying go back, they might not have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when the public forum doesn't allow you to like to validate democracy and to allow people to have access to information that way, then what are we gathering on the internet for?
Yeah. Walk me through your general rules a little bit. I mean, you've mentioned transparency, and I have noted that one of the things you three do is you always explain why you've done something if you've taken away a post or deleted or stopped comments or something. Why did you feel that was an important rule?
Well, so I was banned from one of the other groups.
weren't we all?
Yeah, I was banned for just quoting somebody else's weird tweet and saying I don't think this is acceptable language. It was back around the time of the provincial election too. And so, yeah, transparency is important because I got banned for saying nothing, really. And I feel like people should know when they do something wrong or when they step over that line. Because if you don't allow people a chance to correct their behavior, they're not ever going to learn from it.
Right.
Speaking from personal experience, it doesn't feel good when somebody just silences you for the sake of silencing you. Without an explanation why. I was eventually unbanned.
You were returned.
I was returned to the fold.
But that's it's an interesting point, and it's a good one that, like, because so much of that can happen invisibly. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't see a post and it got mm-hmm. deleted, well, it just doesn't exist for you. It's like a lot of the internet is like that, period, which yeah. is, I'm a fan of like the Wayback Machine and things like that. So, because
which doesn't work for Facebook though, yeah, which is also right. troublesome. So, like, you can't go back and be like, I see how this conversation evolved. It can just be either erased by group moderators or by Facebook as a whole.
Yeah.
And I feel like from a community organizing standpoint, it's also painful that people get called out way more than they get called in. And I feel like on a community level, it's good to give people a chance to explain. And often you know the people, but you can see how they're presenting themselves isn't actually wholly the point they're trying to make. So often we would give people a chance and sort of call them in first and be like, hey, so like this has been reported. Like, it seems like you're trying to make this point, but you're definitely currently breaking the rules or sound like you're incensing people in these ways. Like, do you want to just try to reframe that? And then sometimes we don't have to delete things at all. And people are just like, oh yeah, that wasn't my best moment. And people have really good feedback actually a lot of the time.
Yeah,
because typically when something's reported, like, we will receive messages from people, and so things can, there is like quite a bit of back end. And then when it comes to anytime I've written, like when something's been deleted and I've made a post, like the transparency post, which was like part of Julia's rule set when it started, it's been like, for me, like an opportunity to let people know, like, in the future, like, these types of posts will be moderated. So it's like a good opportunity for that to lessen like the load or the work on our end going forward or on other people's end of like what's just like basic good behavior online on a public forum.
I'm glad you're mentioning the workload because I wanted to ask you about that. Facebook already takes criticism for its dominance of news distribution, you know, and there's a movement to make Facebook pay for news links. But I always think, what about all the moderators of these local? I mean, there's you could say this is the lifeblood of a lot of Facebook is all these like specific groups that are dedicated to geographic regions or topics and that kind of thing. How much time, unpaid time, do you guys put into this?
Lately, it's been less because it's mostly just duct cleaning that we got to get rid of, which should be the unwritten rule number one. No duct cleaning services.
Yeah.
There's but a lot sometimes strange it's a lot. Spam. Yeah, sometimes it's a lot. I feel like more than it's a temporal load, it is like a lot of emotional labor to try to do right by the community and not let our biases get in the way or our personal preferences. Which is why, like, yet again, like, I'm really happy to be actually in person with you guys because I feel like some of the depth of conversation of, like, I was like, wait, but people should talk about this. Like, if we censor this, this conversation is still happening in people's houses if we don't have a place for it. But if it's hurting people or giving misinformation, we can't let it slide. So, I think sometimes it takes a lot. And mostly it's, like, the 24-hour nature of it. And then you'll get, like, a deeply disturbed emotionally and like feel like you have a role as a public servant almost at like 9 p.m. or at 11 p.m. And then not everyone's going to be happy and you know it and you have to figure out a way to do it while you're doing everything else. And I totally understand why sometimes other groups, especially if there's only one moderator or not shifting of moderation or like the transparency we have where people can co-create the rules a little bit and understand why we're doing things the way we're doing, that people get really short and feel like super time poor and moderate really badly because it is not a well-thanked role. It's pretty thankless a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that if you're doing it right, no one knows you're doing anything. Right?
Yeah.
And, yeah. But there's a lot of behind the scenes work and like you mentioned, emotional kind of labor.
Yeah, definitely. Like when you feel you've let somebody down or when you're getting several messages at once and you're trying to make a decision and we would reach consensus as well. And that could happen sporadically. Like it could be noon on a work day and then you're like, oh, you know, but I kind of signed up to do this. But it is true. Like what when we do our job right as a moderator, it's almost a job done wrong on what Facebook as this algorithm machine wants, you know, like it's designed for conflict a lot of the time. Like that keeps eyes on it and that sells ad space, and you know there's a lot of unpaid work like involved with Facebook. And then as well too, there's so many people like that work for Facebook in like a micro work sense where it's they just like when it comes to like the whole interfaces moderation, like it's just such a giant machine. It's just 10 of thousands of people working for it. I'm going off topic.
No,
it's
okay.
Huge thing. Yeah.
And I gather, are you in the market for another moderator right now? Because Jessica, you recently retired.
Yeah. Like mm-hmm. I had just committed to a year and it was fun. And yeah, so I think that there's something to be gained if it is like a Facebook group used within like a small community, that the more people that kind of know the back end of it and have they themselves have like made some of the decisions around moderating, perhaps like the healthier the actual group can be.
Right, the more people that do a tour of duty kind of thing,
yeah,
the more general
sure.
understanding
the role.
You get.
Well, and I feel like it's sort of like jury duty, sort of like once you realize like, oh, I have to consider all the nuance and what is actually like of public, what serves the public here. Instead of just wearing your own hat, like putting on your public hat is really important. And
yeah.
also people knowing that it's not immovable and that we're open to other people moderating and that things shift is also helpful.
It's like working customer service. Like I think everybody should work retail once in their life.
Are you soliciting tips from?
Yeah. And, you know, if they do this, maybe there would be less conflict. Because there is some, like, I don't know how much you guys experienced it in private messages, but some gaslighting sometimes where you do what you think is right and then somebody just keeps messaging you privately to the point where you're like, did I do the right thing? Did I not? And you know, you start to second guess yourself even though you were sure of it at the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I've definitely gotten like at the same time. Yeah. When we had that sort of debate where someone was, yeah, the United Church was promoting awesome, like, Trans Week sort of, like, or Pride Week, like, events that were awesome because they're an Affirmation Church. Was happy to let that, like, be posted. And then a few people started talking, mostly one specific person just started quoting the Bible about how, like, the United Church has fallen from grace, basically. But it was a really useful discussion because a lot of people engaged with like from a like there were many people I know who have masters of theology that were engaging and people who were quoting the Bible would be like, actually that's like a really small part. And I know that people were ministering in DMs to that person. It was, to me, it was a really useful conversation, but also people were feeling really threatened, which is totally valid. But a lot of people in the community had messaged me to say, please leave this up. And then during that conversation, like, I was being messaged by people saying, how dare you be a queer person who is also mothering someone, and other people unfriending me because I hadn't immediately pulled the post. And I was just like, oh, this is a painful moment of moderation right here. It's just like, I'm trying to do what's right, I promise. But, like, I don't want to pull things without allowing that space to be created. And if it's not immediate, if it's done more democratically and asking people what they think is okay, yeah, people expect immediacy and expect, people to have the hammer down, sort of. Whereas for me, especially because I was actually raised in the United Church, and I'm really glad they're Affirmation, but, like, I know so many people, especially of, like, octogenarians, who have taken time to shift their views and believe the Bible in certain ways and need to know that that little circle that they have is actually, like, not what the world looks like, and not having those conversations outside of your kitchen table or your church means that you don't further your understanding with people that you know are flesh and blood humans in your own community that you might be harming. Yeah, it's hard.
It is. Yeah. No, that's I recall that one. And it's, you know, that it gets into a definition of what is a safe space and what's a useful space and what's a space that's going to like be productive and actually move us along. And you know, all these kind of questions. And I got to say, I certainly did not envy any of the moderators during that whole debate.
Yeah, there's been situations where people who are vaccine hesitant reach out to me based on being like in my role on that Facebook group just to ask further questions about like the vaccine and that like I strongly feel like the government has like fallen short of reaching people who are anxious about getting the COVID shots. So like I thought that was great.
Yeah,
and continued that conversation. And sometimes conversations like need to be like person to person. So in that way, like that I've come to know more community members in doing that in a volunteer capacity. Like that's been great.
That's very interesting because that it's private messaging that's mm-hmm. coming at you with that, because I can imagine you would not feel okay posting your vaccine hesitant question necessarily in a public forum mm-hmm. in this day and age, because a lot of people are quite upset that is, you know, that the vaccine rollout is taking so long and that, you know, they just want to get it done and get it over with. So there's a lot of impatience with that sort of thing. Interesting.
I think, vaccine hesitancy, I don't think would be met with too much pushback or resistance, right? It's rare. That's the rare thing, is somebody asking a question in good faith. Usually the posts that end up being removed are people making statements that are so far beyond false that you can't keep it up and call it reasonably use the word information in the title of the group. If it were Sackville, you know, local news and fiction, sure.
Yeah, but there's been situations where somebody attempts to pose a question where it comes across as good faith, but the person is actually pretty involved with anti-vaccine politics in New Brunswick. And
seem to be organized is the other thing that's slightly, like, it seems like certain tactics seem prevalent, like starting a thread and then deleting their comments so it looks like everybody's upset, but is actually upset about a thing that has been deleted. On purpose. It's curious.
There's tricks on Facebook. Like if you make a comment and get people to like comment below you, you can go back and delete that comment, your original comment, and it deletes the whole thread and it looks like it's been moderated. So then anyone who's commented under it that goes back to it thinks that, oh, this has been moderated. This has been like censored perhaps or something.
Oh, so you
like
might
that.
Get a message saying, hey Jessica, why did you delete my comment?
Yeah. And then it's almost like posting something where you know people like won't be into it. You can almost draw people from the reaction that you get that are like, oh, like this person is like everybody's like pushing back on them or everybody is angry at them and they were just expressing an opinion. So we see some of that at times.
And as a moderator, it's also that's what made that particular conversation about allowing someone to talk about their views of the Bible or their interpretation of the Bible was so painful, because like the amount of people who ended up supporting Pride events and things under that thread. But if I deleted the one thing, then all of the conversation of people being like, well, actually, that's not true in this thing. And also now I'm putting up Pride flags in my garden because I didn't realize this was still a problem, or that people didn't understand that it's not a choice and da 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 da. And it's so painful to be like, oh God, like nuance is bliss to me, and to like erase the nuance because like one comment is problematic, and then the community sort of comes together underneath that to figure it out collectively, and then you still have to delete it. It's like deeply painful, especially because there's no Wayback Machine. So we tend to like take screenshots and like before we delete anything to sort of preserve, have like a record anyway. I do because I think it's important, and it's painful to erase how much effort, because I don't know if you've ever engaged on a thread like that, but like you put so much effort into it, and if it disappears, like it's funny how much pain you can have in those moments, especially when there are people in your community that you really care about. And that happened with climate change protests on the other forum. Like it was over 257 people commenting, and at first it was tenuous and people were fighting. And then once everyone agreed, the thread got deleted. Do you know what I mean? When it's like, oh, I want to know what's happening next. And then it got deleted. It's like, wait, but why wasn't it deleted when people were like talking about burning tires because they hate the tree huggers? But now it's deleted when people are interested in what students are doing proactively in our community to adapt to climate change. Yeah, it's painful.
Yeah, like I think that there's limitations to like
the tool.
Yeah, to like the amount of conversation that you can have or discussion with Facebook, but it is read. So even if there's like a certain amount engaging with something, a certain amount is read just to attempt to make sense of like an issue that's going on in the community for sure.
I wanted to ask you guys a bit about the sort of public culture in Sackville, both on and off Facebook. I mean, you're all Sackvillians. There was a firm hired by the town, I guess last year, to do a marketing plan, and they had something really interesting in their report.
I love that report.
It was really I agree, totally. Yeah. They sort of pointed out they described this as a summation, I guess, but they described Sackville as the sort of triple identity, as a small rural town, a small urban town, and then a college town. So these three identities that Sackvillians have. I'm curious to hear, like, because you three have a great perspective. I mean, it's eye-opening to hear how much more behind the scenes is happening even than I realized. So you do have this great perspective on Sackville. I'm interested, you know, do you think those social divisions are real? And do you think there's something to be concerned with about them? Does anyone have any thoughts there?
Yes.
All right, let's hear it. Matt, Betty.
They exist. Yeah, it would be naive to say they don't. They exist, and I don't. I spent a lot of time thinking about this. As an educator, I spend a lot of time thinking about how to destroy these barriers. And as an educator with a bit of a short fuse, I often do not do a good job of it. But it's very difficult. It's very difficult. It seems so entrenched in these different... It's almost feudal in a way. Like, I don't know if that's the right word, but it's strange. Like, especially when it came to, like, the vaccine hesitancy stuff or some of the things that were said. I always put out offers to, you know, talk to me. You've done your research. I've done mine. We can compare. I will show you... what research looks like, and it doesn't, you don't get any traction on that. Not once have I been taken up on, you know, I want to learn. And so I can learn in a place like Sackville. Like there's two ways to look at it. Like these three identities, you can either embrace them all and you can go to one place to learn stuff. And then you have this great like arts culture where you can, experience things, and then you can learn, like, since I moved to Sackville, I've learned how to knit, make bread, garden, and done that through, you know, the rural aspect of the community. And it's there if you want it, but I feel like there's these lines that are so deep from what I've noticed since I moved here that it's hard to cross them.
You can kind of temporarily cross over.
You can kind of, yeah, if you find the right people, you can, like, you know, make a connection and learn something and do something. But as far as group dynamics go, there's these deep, deep, deep lines that I haven't seen. There was a huge culture shock. I never saw that before I moved here.
Okay.
Because where I grew up in Toronto was very much... Everybody was kind of in the same boat, right? Everybody's just kind of struggling. So there weren't these deep, deep lines like there are here. Or if they were, there was like the aristocracy and the proletariat, but that's a totally different conversation.
Yeah.
You're listening to CHMA Talks on CHMA 106.9 FM in Sackville. Today we feature a conversation with the moderators of the online group Sackville Locals and Community Info. Let's get back to it. Here's Julia Feltham.
I guess for me, because like before I was a moderator, I was doing like, I was the community yeah, I was doing community organization with Renaissance Sackville, and like was introduced to Sackville through trying to engage community. And like, as someone who was raised rural, I was like, ah, these are all the elements that are at play. But I feel like Sackville actually has the resources to possibly work on that and bridge those gaps in new and exciting ways, especially because I feel like most of those divides, like the amount of times I heard town and gown when I moved here, or like we used to talk to those people 9 years ago, but don't talk to them because like 9 years ago they did this. And it's like, well, it's been 9 years. Like they have like 7 new boards since then or whatever. Yeah. And I think that to me, it all feels like a form of lateral violence where if you know what I mean, like, I feel like it's, people feeling like some people have it better than others. And like ever since, you know, the foundry closed and there was that big upheaval in the early 90s in this town, the cash cow has been the college in many ways, or the university. And I feel like that doesn't need to be the tension that we think it is. And not to be a full Trekkie nerd, but like in like Gene Roddenberry's vision, like what brings humans together is like this ultimate threat of like, oh, we're not alone in the universe. And I was like sort of hopeful when that IPCC report came out about Sackville being like, and the isthmus being, you know, the most at risk in Turtle Island other than like New Orleans, that maybe we could be like, oh, hey, like, well, we can build better and we actually have the resources to plan this accordingly. And actually, like, transitioning to a green economy or transitioning to whatever else is actually, like, really good for blue collar, really good for, like, all of the things that we think are divides in society actually have to work together towards common goals. And I'm sort of hopeful sometimes that the internet would be the accumulation of those, that moment of, like, how do we pitch and, like, how do we compete solutions for public good is, like, always what I want to talk about, basically. And those are the golden moments to me on those moderating forums. But when I read that report and it was like, Sackville needs to learn how to talk to itself before it can ever actually advertise outside, basically, I was like, yeah, I agree. Like, we need to have a common vision and know what our shared hearth of is as a community. And I feel like the things we actually have in common are much more prevalent than the things we don't. And the things we love about this town are very similar. But I think that we don't have that shared hearth or that idea that we're around the same public pot. And I think public trust is at an all-time low, in my opinion. And I think that that's what we're feeling with that dissonance of people loving where they live, but not sure about those people, though. I feel like that is part of, like, rural, small town and scarcity mindset in the internet era right now in a global pandemic. It's like, oh, like we're in a pressure cooker, and it just is exemplified by bad algorithms and tools for conversation on the internet.
Yeah. So for myself, I came to Sackville because my partner was doing a postdoc. And since then, I had been the chair of Sappy Fest for a number of years, which, you know, Sappy Fest sometimes can really be a punching bag on online forums in Sackville. Like, there was one Sappy Fest where there was a post made by an ambulance driver about people dancing in the streets on Lawrence Street, and that it was, like, very dangerous. And it had 400 comments, most of them negative about Sappy Fest. And it was during festival weekend where, you know, like, if there's an emergency, I want to call 911 and not think that, like, I'm embroiled in, like, a larger online conflict. So that's with my Sappy Fest role. But I'm also, like, I grew up in a village an hour from here. So Sackville's actually one of the nearby towns. But for me, it would be Truro. So sometimes, like, when it comes to, like, divisions in town, like, I think that they're not that deep. I think that sometimes people just kind of want to, like, talk up, or, like, they're feeling petty, or they're taking sides. But I think that we have a lot in common. And I think to that point, what I noticed as a moderator is that there was never a time where, like, if something was, a comment was made critically about our premiere, somebody was never sweeping in to be like, no, and it's like this. I see that there is, like, a lot of solidarity in our community. I think recently with the QP strike, I've been sharing information on that, and I haven't come across the negative comment around the strike. So I have a lot of faith in our community.
Yeah. Does Would you say that Sacramento Locals and Community Info has membership from those three different cultural groups? Yeah.
Yeah, which I love, honestly. It's why I moved here. I want to live my urban dreams, you know? I want to be able to walk to my coffee shop and walk to the marsh in the woods and not have my kid think that everybody thinks the same as them. Because the people I disagree with the most in this town, I will still take their garbage out when they're on vacation, because that is how small town folk roll. and when the floods inevitably come, we got to help each other out. And I feel like it's been really interesting to see, even with the limits of the tool of a Facebook group, watching almost the same conversation be posted in another forum that is moderated in a very different way about school closures, for example. I feel like that was the most poignant one for me, where one of them became this is a weird anti-vax, giant anti-vax thread, strange. And the other one was how are people feeling about schools closing? And how safe are we feeling? And people having a conversation about all those pain points and being able to I feel like the being able to create a safe enough space that people can talk about their hesitancy or their pain points and solve them together is really beautiful, to see how much moderation can actually help in framing those conversations or hosting them in a way that you get to see all the perspectives of our lovely nuanced town.
Yeah, I think Julia mentioned it, with the changes in the 90s in Sackville, in the community I grew up in, there was a chair factory that burnt down and it was 80 families were employed. Everybody lost their jobs. It was pretty traumatic. And after that, everybody commuted out of the village. So in Sackville, there was the same deindustrialization. And that is usually a topic that comes back around, back around when we have municipal elections. How does our community grow? How does our community even survive? And I think sometimes we get onto sticking points with each other over that. We're attempting to resolve a dilemma that's actually a huge international economic situation. But we are all searching for the same vitality when we do have those conversations, for sure. So that's why I enjoy using it. Losing my train of thought.
No, you enjoy being part of the discussion there, not necessarily as a continued moderator forever.
Yeah,
that's interesting. I'm thinking of, when you were talking there, I was thinking of the drive-through debate, which often, whenever the economy gets brought up in Sackville, it always comes down to, it would be so much better if only there wasn't a bylaw banning drive-throughs or more drive-throughs at exit 504. Yeah. Anyway. Or and at 506, I guess.
Speaking of that, I don't know if you're aware, there's a whole group of young people in Sackville where they post satire of these discussions.
Not Sackville Community Concerns is amazing. The group that is just people being like, I'm gonna pretend I'm on.
You're kidding.
It is.
Okay, what's it called, Julia?
No, we can't say what it's called the thing. We'll tell you after.
Yeah, totally.
But that's not fair to these.
No, that's
young
true.
People.
Sorry, yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it does exist and it's a lot of fun. And I mean, I bring it up because it brings some perspective to some of these discussions, right? Especially the drive-through one. That one's that one that comes up a lot there. And there's these very impassioned discussions about, what boils down to a Dairy Queen.
Or skateboards.
A Dairy Queen in a parking lot where it doesn't really mean, I don't know how they're going to fit a drive-through in the parking lot each time I go by. Or with Wright Avenue, where that's going to be a connection to King Street. What are we going to do with that intersection? Yeah. Right there off the highway. It needs a traffic. There's so many logical things. Yeah.
But it's just, at the end of the day, it's a Dairy Queen. I've seen Dairy Queens go up and come down in 6 months. It's a Dairy Queen. Yes, it might help something. It might hurt something else. But I feel like it ends up this disproportional argument of the thesis statement becomes Dairy Queen will make or break this town, depending on what we do with it. And it gets out of hand very quickly.
Well, I think for me, because before the pandemic, I was running many public consultations. That was my main gig. And I feel like so often what happens with public consultations is it's only the mad, the bad, and the sad that show up. And like we actually don't get to the nitty gritty, which is why I really like juried discussions for things like that. It was like, you should pay people time to think about it and like listen to the experts and measure things, not just wearing their hat, but like wearing their public hat. And I think, yeah, the access to information and the way that the internet sort of frames things as almost entirely transactional rather than relational is so painful for the type of discussion you have to have about like, well, I mean, if they proposed this bylaw this way, then it would be legal. And since that bylaw was in place, like now the Municipalities Act gives people the power to have anti-idling laws. Like that's what the original, anyway. So like without having to go through the way back machine of legislation and everything else. Yeah, I feel like we don't, I'm boggled at this point in 2021 that we have all of these amazing tools and how much of our economy is on the internet, and we still don't have anything close to a Netflix of public governance and and that we're on Facebook. Honestly, it's surprising to me because I would love to compete solutions and be like, hey, by the way, also like here are all the like snapshots of the council package for XYZ, and now like it's entirely searchable now. There's no reason why those things aren't happening. And it makes it moderating really hard when part of it is also just like, here's where the information is. Like, oh, you want to have this conversation? Make sure you know about this information before you attack each other, please.
Yeah. It's been pretty funny in town to meet people like where people that I don't know, but that I do know from this experience.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, like one time I think maybe I walked down the aisle the wrong way in the grocery store and somebody's like, I'm reporting you to the group mods. I didn't even know them, but then they're like, I know who you are. But that's been kind of cute at times to get to know people through it.
Yeah, that's nice to hear. And that was obviously, they were joking.
They were joking. Yeah. They were 100% yeah. joking.
But it's kind of scary that like you have to clarify that they were joking.
Did you get an email about that, Matt?
No. I'm terrified of that. Like because of my role in the government, I am terrified that like I make a show out of putting hand sanitizer on just in case somebody might see it and be like, I saw you not using hand sanitizer. You know, your mask is tilted 4 degrees. I'm terrified.
Let me ask you guys, were you surprised by anything after you started this role of moderation? If you can, sometimes it's hard to go back to what you were actually expecting when you started. Was it more work or more difficult than you thought it would be?
Can I put on my cynical hat for a second?
Oh, dear.
Like
okay.
I have it on constantly.
Yeah, it's already on.
This is like the on top of that. Like, I expected at some point while you're growing up, I expected people to learn how to self-censor. And if everybody had that skill, I don't know if moderation would need to be as difficult as it is. A lot of it comes down to people just really, I don't know if they never learned it or they don't want to acknowledge it on the internet, or they have this idea that the internet's not a real space in the world where they don't self-censor. A lot of it comes down to just, you know, censoring what should have been censored before it kind of came out into the ether.
Mm-hmm. That's so funny. I was going to say something about how like I was raised by like my grandmother and my great aunt, and I feel like as well as my parents, and I feel like sometimes I have like 1911 and 1918 sensibilities. And when you would use potty language, Matt, I would be like,
I have the worst.
And I'd be like, so for you to be like self-censoring, and I was like, it's really funny because for me, I'm like, wait, if we're moderators, don't we have to show people how not to curse? Just like, but is that me being super uptight and really like Victorian old school? I feel like that surprised me, and oh my gosh, so many things surprised me about what moderating brought out. But I feel like I was really surprised how quickly people write each other off, which is like something I don't necessarily need emphasized in our current world, but like, yeah, I feel like it's surprising to me when people are like, oh, I can't believe you did that one thing. And it's like, but you know so much more of me than that one thing. That's so surprising, especially in a small place. But I would say, similar to what you said, Jessica, I feel like the people messaging me in confidence because they know that I like to hold space for the gray zone. and don't mind at all sharing, like, hey, well, this is where I got this information. This is why I disagree with you. I feel like knowing that out of public lens, that people know that they can reach out to be like, hey, I need more information on this, or like, I'm really nervous to talk about this because I don't want to be canceled, or I don't want people to think I'm an anti-vaxxer, or I don't want XYZ. Knowing that there are spaces where we can actually just be humans thinking about things and know that it's not an attack on ourselves as humans, and more like competing solutions, or like trying to figure out where we stand. I feel like that's really enriching and a nice part of the like human interaction that it's nice to see come out of moderating. Yeah, and also my weird sense of propriety. It's like, but it's a public space. We must like PG-13 and like
90% of my pauses are me
trying
not to use any four letter words right now. It's I think a lot of it has to do like I grew up in an Italian immigrant family. My first language is English, but a lot of my family's isn't. So swearing in English is not a thing.
Yeah.
And it's more a tool, right? It's
emphasis.
I'm not smart enough to know all the fancy adjectives, but I know this one. And when used properly, it can be very effective. It's, again, the things running through my head right now. If I said you would be off the air.
I think because I grew up like with 300 other people, three times the size of that in the summer with cottagers, and my dad had the convenience store. So I was like a cashier from age 12 onwards. So everybody just like offloaded their info onto me, or like it was great. Like I really almost missed those days. Like that was a good almost 10 years of my life. But everybody fought, like in some ways, like community some of the time is rolling your eyes at your fellow community members, mm-hmm. and infighting and everything else, but you have bonds deeper than that. And you even, you know, there are a lot of issues with Facebook, but you do see that still at play. And I've come out of that where like I said, where I've met people that I've debated heavily with online. I guess I think debate is great. It's like where we sharpen what we know together. So that's been great. I do feel I fall into the camp sometimes where I'm not good at self-censoring myself, or I get far into like a debate. And being a moderator like helped me just learn to like go easier on people or have a bit more patience. Like I feel like I already do have patience, but even a bit more to just leave a conversation like as it is and not worry, like, and know that that's kind of that's Mark Zuckerberg's work at like the design of it all, to make you feel like you're like texting to nobody, or that you need to win this battle, or mm-hmm. so on and so forth. So I think it was a pretty neat education, I would say, in a lot of ways. Like this was my pandemic hobby, like instead of banana bread. Yeah.
I kind of want to clarify self-censor. I don't mean like, no, like something that's intentionally harmful, like, you know, bringing up Nazism, if for any reason whatsoever outside of Nazis. Discussing that period from 1939 to 1945 is something I feel like people should be able to just hold back a little bit, right? Or, you know, if somebody wants to do something really great for the LGBTQ+ community, whether or not you agree with it, if it doesn't affect you directly, that, you know, just censor that opinion in public. Like it has nothing to do with you, so just leave it be, kind of thing. Not like the, you know, everybody, I have a short fuse. I am very empathetic to people just, you know, saying that one thing a little too loudly. But, you know, there's some places that it should just be common sense not to go. And one of them might be, you know, comparing things to fascism, or mm-hmm. When they're not, or, you know, telling people that they're going to suffer eternally for something they are.
That is a phenomenon of the internet or that text-based communication, especially mm-hmm. where, I mean, people say things to each other that they would never say, even if they were even staring at a Zoom image kind of thing. We're going to wrap this up, but I, you know, So I, I will say one of the surprising things about Sacwa Locals and Community Info to me is that it's still so successful this far in, because it, I, you know, at first when you launched it, I thought, good luck with that. And yeah, so it's kept growing, and you, there is still space for all this debate, all these ideas. And I do feel like it's a solid place to check and see what people are thinking and talking about and worrying about. So it's a super vital resource for the community. So I thank you all for your work on that.
Thanks. And we are looking for moderators if you want to. Yeah, especially if you feel like you disagree with us sometimes, that it would actually be helpful.
I'm waiting to be usurped.
All right. Well, let's throw that out to listeners. If you disagree with Julia and Matt ever, that this is your chance to step up and
come on in
and
hold the public space.
Yeah, and you know, and it does sound like it's going to be a learning experience, right? I will I'll ask for one final comment. I'm wondering, what do you think? Do you think that we need? I mean, this is the pandemic, so we're limited, but. You know, given the limitations of internet communications and typing messages and people's sort of, it's very difficult to not want to always win the fight or get a little too nastier than you ever would in person. Things like that happen. Do we need better functions outside of Facebook groups to communicate? And what are those going to be? What's your wish list? If you had a quick wish list for how public discourse could be happening in Sackville amongst our three identities, what would it be?
The amount of time I spend thinking about that is like, yeah, I think about it all the time. And also I feel like in this era, there's no reason why information can't be beautiful and discernible and incredibly navigable. Like, I feel like the amount of time I spend going through council packages just to send people a picture to be like, no, that's not what they said, or that's not what the decision is. Yeah, and I feel like we actually have to work on the project of Sackville and our community and our shared goals, and we don't do that. And usually when we have either public consultations or other things, it's actually not exciting, or sometimes the decision has already been made and you don't show the work of how all the voices that showed up and how we get to there. And I feel like it's actually an exciting size of community that we could actually be exemplars of how to have a public conversation outside of an algorithm that is pained and actually for the public good. Yeah. And for me, it starts with making sure information is beautiful and accessible. And then also like doing regular check-ins with people that aren't just voting them in or out. Yeah, there's so many parts. But I think people need to be excited. We haven't captured the civic imagination in a really long time. And to me, I'm like thrilled that like the problems we're facing are actually to me very exciting in some ways, because we can actually work on it together. I think of them like the Star Trek aliens. It's like, hey, so things are here, like, and we're a good team and we have so many different skills. How do we work on these things? And I think until we can share in the project, then we can't. Yeah, we think we're working on three different projects. And that's just not true, because everybody wants like kids to have enough food, and that doesn't happen. Like, it's like up to 28% of kids, and usually 23% in southeastern New Brunswick, are too malnourished to be educated in school because they don't have enough fuel to learn. It's like what are we doing if we're not meeting those things and we're fighting about the drive-through? Like, can we do like, and we're fighting about like a pro-social activity like skateboarding? Like, can we figure out how to like prioritize and share in the project? And I feel like I'm hopeful that we can actually platform that in some way, whether or not it's actually meeting in person and breaking bread. Yeah, I'm hopeful we can do that on this actual scale.
All right.
Yeah, like I think that it would be beneficial for Sackvillians to come together even in smaller groups, like given all of the different issues that are going on out there, and that it's overdue in some cases. And I do notice that at times, especially with issues pertaining to the hospital that's ongoing, it's like, we need to organize something, we need to organize a protest, but we're pretty unorganized in Sackville. So I would say that like is a gap in like our immediate community right now, which perhaps may not include all of the community being involved, but it brings in all of the community ultimately, because like Julia was saying about child poverty in southeastern New Brunswick, like there's so many issues in New Brunswick. We all know it, like lowest minimum wage, the public sector under attack. And yeah, it's just, I remember when it came out about the minimum wage, it was like 94% of New Brunswickers that earn minimum wage are in the service industry and don't have a union. So there's so many things that we could be doing in Sackville, for sure.
Oh, me?
Well, only if you have some thoughts. you get the last word.
No, oh, geez.
No pressure.
No, we can edit this so Julia comes last. That was way more eloquent than what. Honestly, my first thought was give everyone a gummy from Cannabis MB and let them talk then. Might be a lot more conducive to doing something. But I do think it.
Well, talking in person is what you're suggesting, though. But also while high off a gummy.
No, you don't have to be high. You don't have to be high.
Oh, okay,
no, I'm talking like flying here. No, but I mean, yes, talking in person and like getting off Facebook. Facebook's terrible. It's always been terrible. And there's this, again, it was kind of a culture shock how reliant small communities are on
Facebook. Eastern Canada, especially like the stats for Eastern Canada, like Facebook rules.
Yeah. Like I deleted Facebook when I left university in 2010. And I had to reactivate it when I moved here because I found I knew nothing. I didn't even know what movie was playing at the movie theater if I did not have Facebook.
Real?
Right?
Yeah, like, totally.
Yeah, like there's this real over reliance, and I think maybe if we had more things like CHMA, more avenues for people to talk to each other, it might be better. And we're gonna cut the thing about the gummies, right?
Absolutely not.
There's like, well, it could be said like community is like what you roll your eyes at 90% of the time, but to use a potty word, when shit hits the fan, we're all gonna be here for each other, like when it comes to the things down the road in Sackville. So
like a lot of the problems I find on like a lot of the like, you know, poop slinging, I didn't swear, a lot of the poop slinging that happens on Facebook, it very much reminds me of fights I have with my sister. Like it's very familial in that way. In that, yeah.
It's both horrifying and comforting to watch people fight like that sometimes. It's like, why? Oh, yeah, that's why.
Yeah, right. Like everybody's so close to it that, and it almost directly impacts you, everyone, right? So when you have a disagreement, it, no matter what it is, if it's a Dairy Queen or a hospital, it feels personal, even when it's not. And yeah, hopefully.
So there is a good side to that, I guess, as you're saying. Like,
yeah,
that,
I guess the fighting
means we all care. Yeah.
And yeah, the fighting is what you do with your family. Like it's not like the types of fights you would get into with, you know, a stranger, even though some, like, I don't know all the names of the
people, I feel like you could actually characterize most of the fights that we have to moderate as like, I care about this. I'm like, well, you're caring about it wrong.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I care about it a different way. And it's like, oh, that's kind of sweet and sort of terrible, because like, can we figure it out? But yeah, no, yeah, it's definitely, it's almost never that people don't care.
It's familial. So it's a symptom of a good thing, even though it seems awful sometimes.
Can I also say one other thing? I would love to see something like, because the amount of times people are like, they should just be doing this, they should just be doing this, I would love to see like a participatory budget fair in Sackville, where it's like, you think you want to bet that you can solve this better than us, awesome, pitch it, but you have to figure out all the details, and then like, let's have an ideas fair and then people can vote on it, like, go. Because I feel like so often we don't feel like we're part of the public purse, or decisions are made outside of our hands. And I feel like if people see that, like, they're empowered, then that makes a huge difference. And when I worked for community foundations in Eastern Canada, by and large, what we find is people have a great sense of belonging, like love their neighbors and a bunch of other things, but compared to the rest of Canada, tend to feel like they can't change their community and they can't change their neighborhood. And to me, like, you love the place you live, but you feel like you can never, ever change it. Like, that is so painful. But there are really easy solutions to that by showing people, well, you're actively changing it every time you show up. And just give people ways to really plug in and show up that are meaningful to solve our shared problems.
The government out here, like, at least the provincial and municipal level, there's a divide there. There's some gap between the people and the government. Like, even recently at the town council of Sackville, when they're talking about the stark increase in housing prices. And like, this is great. We can pay our bills now. It's like, yeah, but at what cost? At the cost of all the people that now cannot, right? But mm-hmm. that didn't even seem to cross their minds. It's great. We can pay our snow removal bill and our RCMP bill. And yet, you know, people can't eat now. And that second part doesn't ever cross their minds. And this is a massive gap, which probably leads to, you know, a lot of people just taking to internet forums to discuss mm-hmm. their problems because the government at all levels seems out of touch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like ways that we can break the fourth wall, if you will, like yeah. so that it's not just at election time or at a like slightly dysfunctional consultation where there's meaningful feedback and tinkering with the real big pieces. Yeah. I'm quite hopeful. And I think that takes a lot of transparency and willingness. But you have to rebuild public trust in a place like Sackville because it's eroded right now and the internet doesn't help. But I think having those difficult conversations and doing it in good faith with like basic rules can sort of help.
And no duck cleaning.
Yeah, and no spam if possible.
All right. Well, I mean, it's worked so far. And yeah, I thank you guys again for doing that work. And yeah, we'll put out another plug for anyone who's interested in lending a hand. Thanks very much, folks.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you guys for all the difficult conversations we've had.
That was Julia Feltham, Matt Betty, and Jessica Grew, moderators of the Sackville Locals and Community Info Facebook group. You can find the group on Facebook, and as you heard, they are currently looking for new moderators to join their team. You've been listening to CHMA Talks. Join us again next week for more conversations near and far about stuff that matters. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.